Happy California Primary Day, Brendan.
Beware of hanging chads, Alan.
The Not a Thing podcast is going for episode 190. We're on the road to episode 200. I think we're going to make it.
We're doing our best.
We should, right? I mean, it's only 10 weeks away. We can surely make that.
That is attainable. We've come this far.
Right. Why not? Why not? If you would like to be part of our march to episode 200, or hopefully after that as well, after episode 200, please let us know. I'm sure we'll do something fun for episode 200. Well, I'm pretty sure we will.
We've been hyping it long enough.
But I'd said earlier, it's California Primary Day, so hopefully, I guess anyone that's listening to this will probably have already voted by then, because the polls will probably have closed by the time I post this. So hopefully, whoever you voted for did well, and all of the other things on the ballot.
That depends.
The math will hopefully bear out. Minus any horrible fraud, we'll just see how it goes. Well, that'll be a nice topic next week. If
Wait, the horrible fraud of vote tampering or the ridiculousness of superdelegates.
There's certainly a lot on the ballot. At least for me down here in Santa Clara County, I think there were besides president, I think there were 10 things I had to look up.
Dang,
yeah. Yeah, busy bees down here. I don't know.
we had like two propositions and maybe three undercard offices.
Right.
That's not really, they're not really undercard. No. But it's the undercard.
Yeah.
The main event is the president.
I don't think anything... No. None of the people ones were like final today. It's all... still primary level kinds of things, but there were two measures, including one about bumping up the sales tax another 0.25%, which I believe bumps it all the way to 10 at this point in San Jose, which sucks. But
I always vote for those property tax ones because I'm not going to own property. Yeah, sure, charge them some more.
Well, that is certainly a strategy, yes.
I'm not of the landed elite.
Yeah, one of the other things I like to do is, because the primary field is so wide, I mean, the only things in the news are Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, and then on the Republican side, I guess technically Donald Trump is still like a real thing, unfortunately. But there are a good number of candidates that were in that list as well, that were just kind of all over the place. And then the ones for California Senator, that group was even wider. There were some fun ones in that too. It's always fun to read the voter information pamphlet. If you at least get that and thumb through it, you're probably pretty well off in terms of voter knowledgeability. So I hope that being an informed voter is a thing. Uninformed voting, really not a thing. Please don't do that, really.
Unless you're voting for what I was going to vote for, then go ahead. I've done your thinking for you.
next election, we should put out the Not a Thing podcast recommended voting slates, maybe.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. It's too bad my exploratory committee for running for office didn't go anywhere.
Well, it at least provided you with some, you know, amount of good joke material, hopefully. Lots of joy. That's what we're hoping to create in the world. Joy should be more of a thing. So we're going to keep rolling here. We're, again, on our road to episode 200. So if you would like to hang out with us, record a show with us, it'd be great. Let us know by tweeting at us, using Facebook, going to the notathingpodcast.com website and sending your note into the HAL 900. We'll be sure to collate all of those requests and ideas and fun stuff like that and put a show together. It'd be great. So do let us know. We're happy to have guests on the show on the Not a Thing podcast, which you're listening to for free. It's great. We'll get to some stuff about podcasts in a moment, but first we're going to bring up something we've brought up in the past, which is esports, which I think we both kind of agreed was not a thing. But apparently a bunch of companies have disagreed with us, including Buffalo Wild Wings of all companies. So Buffalo Wild Wings, purveyor of wings and really nothing else. You should really not buy anything else at Buffalo Wild Wings, honestly. Although even the wings, I don't know. But anyway, they have... They are apparently sponsoring the E-League, which is spelled all in caps. Very confusingly, it does not stand for anything as far as I know. But
I think you're saying right. It's E-League!
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. they're just screaming. That's what's happening. Okay. Well, they're sponsoring that and showing matches of Counter-Strike Global Offensive or Counter-Strike Go! In the yelling kind of parlance of the day, but interestingly enough, despite them sponsoring those matches and having them on TV, they're actually on TBS, the TV station TBS. A lot of the restaurant managers are not aware of the sponsorship connection, and a lot of folks apparently have been going to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch matches of Counter-Strike alongside, you know, the Warriors game or the Sharks game or whatever is on what I think must be upwards of, you know, 20 televisions at the at the Buffalo Wild Wings near me anyway. And they're getting pushback that they can't have them in the or the people don't want to turn the station to watch esports, even ones that are sponsored by that company. And I think it's funny. I think the eventual monies being poured into esports probably is going to increase as you know, time goes on, at least for a little while. It sounds like a fad that isn't necessarily going away. But I think it's funny that Buffalo Wild Wings has become such a flashpoint of where to go. I still find it difficult to believe people would want to watch esports at all. It's really odd. I mean, you see people staring at a screen and not blinking. It's pretty much the extent of the player contribution anyway. And if they are showing the actual gameplay, I don't know how they would do that in a way that is interesting other than I find it really hard because it is very individual dependent, despite them being like team games. It's very you can probably determine after the fact, oh, this is the camera I should see for this thing that's happening, but otherwise all you see is just way too much movement and no control over it. I would find it really sickening, but I don't know. If Twitch is to be believed, there's lots of people that are watching these streams.
Well, it's going to be on TBS, on regular TV.
Yeah, yeah.
All I can think of is that Professor Farnsworth meme, I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Well, have you ever seen a stream of Counter-Strike?
I have not watched a Counter-Strike stream.
I feel it's a little more easy to know what's going on versus, say, a League of Legends stream. I mean, I think those are harder to tell what's going on without a lot of commentary about what's happening. Oh, and by the way, commentary for video games is so strange also. I remember at I think we talked about it when the last Penny Arcade Expo I went to, I remember playing Bejeweled on in a, I guess there was a Bejeweled tournament thing that I was connected to, and I made it one round in, and it was sort of hilarious to hear like announcer commentary on people playing Bejeweled. Very.
That's the dumbest thing ever.
But yeah, I think there's
the Candy Crush finals.
Right. There's a lot of game mechanics that have to be explained in a game of like League of Legends or any kind of team role based kind of game. But a game where people are pretty much just shooting each other, I think, is slightly more accessible, and at the same time, I don't know if I would want to watch that.
Nothing makes me want wings like people getting shot to pieces on a television.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think the article that we found talks about how a bunch of people are even writing like guides on how to confront your Buffalo Wild Wings restaurant manager in order to get them to turn the TV to the channel. I think this probably is something that'll come up again. I don't think it's a big deal in that if it's on like regular TV, maybe it can be a thing that people change the channel to. I mean, as long as there's not 14 other things happening, they could probably switch one TV to whatever you wanted to watch. I mean,
but then you're watching it without sound.
Right, which is probably just as
bad. So
you
get no commentary. You have no context. I feel weird siding with the jocks in the jocks versus nerds scenario here. That feels unnatural.
Well, it's interesting because
I
find that a lot of sports, any sport that I'm actually interested in, I can absolutely watch without the sound on, especially when they're like continuously bagging on the Warriors on TBS. Sorry, Charles Barkley, but anyway,
or if it's Joe Buck.
but watching video games, I don't know. I think for the most part, at least, I think for the most part, it's noise. I mean, unless it's the like a big thing that I'm interested in, I don't need the sound. But at the same time, if it's that big of a thing and I'm interested, I'm not sure I would pick Buffalo Wild Wings either. But
Buffalo
then again,
Wild Wings has better wings than Hooters. Hooters sucks.
Yeah. But I think I think esports still needs a lot of development as a spectator sport. I mean, you know, I think finding ways to make that interesting to watch probably involves a different level of design about the game. I mean, you would have to develop the game to make it accessible to spectators as well as just accessible to players. Because that's the thing. I think, you know, anyone can watch football and kind of grasp it because you can just get a football and then play football or have someone kind of explain like a thing or two to you, you know. But for the most part, the majority of it comes across. I feel like for esports, it's like I don't want to have a... No, it's just not watchable. It's really what it comes down to. It really shouldn't be a thing. I mean, good for them, I guess, from a regulatory standpoint, is that even a thing? I don't know. But from a the only positive thing that I've heard that came out of esports being a league thing is I think it was last week there was someone who was caught on camera grabbing another person's butt, and then there was this firestorm of like, oh no, we were just messing around, and no, we weren't, and that person has been suspended from league play from that. So I guess that's a positive. You should never be a dick, but you especially shouldn't be a dick if you're trying to make money at a thing that's based on video games. It sounds so ridiculous that that's a thing now. But anyway, moving on to things that are ridiculous and about money. There's a story this week about Scripps, which is a company that owns a bunch of newspapers and other media. They also are the ones that sponsor the one of the national spelling bees. So they're kind of a big company and a big name, and one of the things they're doing is buying a big name in podcasting. It is not the Not a Thing podcast. As much as, you know, I mean, as much as we would like it to be, they ended up buying Stitcher Radio, which is a podcast distribution network similar to iTunes. They have a bunch of people that are exclusive to them, but the majority of their podcasts are just podcasts that you can list in one area or another. Their app is supposedly very nice. If you're a podcast listener, the way they have it is pretty slick, which is, you know, not saying a lot because Apple's podcasting app pretty much sucks. they really need to decouple everything from iTunes. iTunes really shouldn't be a thing, but that's a whole other thing. Stitcher Radio, which I guess has gone through at least one sale since being pulled together. So I'm not sure if that means Stitcher Radio is like a hot commodity, or if it's just a commodity that's kind of like, oh, we gotta move this. So it was sold to Scripps for $4.5 million. And if they have, say, 1,000 podcasts, that's still saying that each podcast is worth like $1,000, so, or $4,000. So I don't know. You think our podcast is worth at least, let's say, we don't even have to be worth $4,000. Let's say we're worth $400. Wouldn't that be like a thing?
I would sell our podcast for $400.
So you heard it here first. Please, you know, forward all related inquiries to us. Let us know.
That's negotiable.
We would also take what was it? Moon tents, or
yes,
or what was the other
thing? So many things.
So many things. We've talked about so many things in our 190 plus shows that we could not categorize them all. What we're really saying is we would like some money, a little bit, even not necessarily to be bought out, but you know, it would be nice occasionally. But we will in the meantime continue to produce the podcast for you, the listeners, for free. It's really not an arduous task for us to pull together. It's fun, in fact. And if you want to be part of that fun, like we said earlier, please let us know. We're happy to have you on the show. It's not terribly difficult. You would just have to invest a small amount of time and have a thing to talk about. We love talking about things and things that are not things to a lesser degree. But we love talking to real folks on the show, so please let us know. We're going to keep talking about real folks. These real folks are in the Navy, and I'm not going to sing. That's not a not a thing, but
I thank you.
But the Navy has caught up to probably. Well, no. I know at least the Air Force has had this technology, so it's good to have the armed forces kind of stepping forward technologically. But they're adding augmented reality to divers' helmets, which is pretty cool. So the Air Force has had this for a while. They've had heads-up displays, which will display things like altitude and distance to whatever's in front of them, and heading and all of that stuff in the field of view in front of you, because of situational awareness. If you're a pilot, you don't want to have to look all around or look down to look at gauges and things. And cars are slowly moving toward this. I know a few cars that have put like the speedometer in a projected thing in the glass, and I think that's interesting. But the Navy is looking into this for diving helmets, and diving helmets, as you can imagine, are pretty restrictive, and you can't look around a lot. There's not a lot of things to, not a lot of vision as it is. So having important information like time underwater, or the amount of air that you have left, or depth and things like that.
Important
having that,
things to know.
Yes, having that accessible in your field of vision sounds interesting. It doesn't. Unfortunately, the article we found does not. Well, there are two unfortunate things. The first thing is that the link we found, it looks like it plays some sort of ad or sound or something like that. Which
so many times.
which really should not be a thing. That really, it really should, like, browsers should have a way to intercept that audio as a preference, I would hope. At least modern browsers do show the little icon for which tab is making the noise, so you can mute it. But the other not thing about this article is that they don't have an image of what it looks like. I feel like that would be an easy win for them to show how cool or interesting the technology is. But one other thing that they also don't bring up is if the information is purely static, if it's just things like depth and time, not anything related to the position or the orientation of the helmet, which I think would be really interesting. I know for heads-up displays in jets, it will you'll get like the horizon line in the screen, and you might think, why would I need to see the horizon line? If I'm in a plane, I would just look. But not if you're at night or in clouds or whatnot. So I think underwater, it's also important to be able to see things. It would be really cool to have to merge a lot of the technology of sensors and have that available. And it also, again, just speaks to more adoption of augmented reality as a thing. There's a lot of talk about virtual reality, and while that's all kind of well and good, I think I still think augmented reality is a more realistic
useful
application. Yes, useful application of this kind of technology. I don't know if I want. I still don't know if I want a like HUD walking around generally, like the. I mean, Google Glass, obviously not a thing. We called that one real early, but. but something like that, I think, is inevitable. It's hopefully it's also optional, but it does seem like a thing that would come up pretty easily. Even if it's something that could be, say, in a phone that you could turn on and off, there are a lot of technologies that are being built into phones from a sensor perspective. It would be interesting to have more of those things percolate through to the screen so people could use them and not just uploaded to some massive database, which it seems like a lot of things are. So moving from underwater, we're going to go into outer space, or hopefully we're going to go into outer space. Luxembourg, a very very tiny country in Europe is, I believe it's a principality. I'm not sure. I think they still have...
It's like Grand Duchy.
Oh, okay. Wow. I don't know. It's a... it's an interesting country. It's very small. They have free reign to kind of do a lot of interesting things monetarily because it is such a small country. One of the things that they've done is invest in a lot of interesting up and coming technologies, and one that they're hoping to invest in. They're setting aside $225 million in credit bonds specifically for asteroid space mining, which is fantastic.
That is totally a thing.
As much as we talk about space travel, you still need a lot of resources on Earth. And a lot of those resources are unfortunately causing a lot of environmental distress on Earth to get. There's a lot of mining, and it comes up now and again, fracking, which is all but about to create a huge earthquake in the middle of America any second now. There's a lot of interest in mining in space because there are a lot of I don't think it's just theoretical. I think there we have confirmed via different measurements and spectroscopy and fun stuff like that there are minerals on asteroids that are useful, and if we can mine them, it would be real interesting. So we're in Luxembourg anyway, they are betting that it's the future of mining, and a few companies have already jumped on board as being interested in it. One of them was is it Planetary Resources?
Yes.
Which I hadn't heard of, but you had apparently been following for a little while.
Yes, I've been following them for probably about a year now. I think it's going to be the future. when they open for investment, I'm going to be there.
Well, it does have a lot of kind of interesting properties about it. I mean, from the kind of resources perspective, I mean, there's a lot of likelihood of different kind of minerals and metals, especially being found on asteroids, especially in kind of in different quantities that would be on Earth. So, for example, it was also in the news maybe 2 weeks ago that there was a dagger in King Tut's tomb that was found, and it was really interesting because it was iron, and around the time of King Tutankhamun in Egypt, Egypt was not in a mode where they were smelting iron. They were still bronze, I believe, and masonry and fun stuff like that. This is what playing too much Civilization has told me anyway. So iron, they figured out that the iron from it, because it wasn't smelted by people, it must have come from space. And it wasn't necessarily aliens, it was just from a meteor. And that's really fantastic to me that there could be different metals and stuff in rocks in space just kind of hanging out. And that would be cool. I think a lot of the trouble with mining stuff on Earth is, I mean, obviously it's probably cheaper to still mine it on Earth versus to fly stuff into space, but that's just because we don't have the infrastructure for space yet. So hopefully companies like Planetary Resources are a thing. Luxembourg, keep investing in space stuff and keep letting us know about when we can get all sorts of fun stuff from space.
No, it's good that a country like Luxembourg is doing the thing that all countries who want to push towards the future have to do, which is you got to invest. Like the independent companies aren't going to do it on their own.
Yeah.
There has to be some sort of governmental intervention to get the amount, because stuff can fail, and that just needs to, you got to pay the price to get moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And right now I think, it's an interesting kind of division of labor, space agency wise. I mean, they're shooting for mostly, commercial, investment for, in Luxembourg for this, but interestingly, the European Space Agency is pushing towards landing on the moon, and I believe NASA is still looking towards getting to Mars. So it's a good thing, divide and conquer on that. Maybe conquer's the wrong word. We don't no, we don't want to exactly conquer space. I mean, we certainly don't want to be conquered from space. I mean, we already have enough things going on. Robots and reptiles. We don't need space overlords as well. we don't even need robots and reptiles. I think, coming back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, I think the threat of you know, our own kind of electoral problems will soon be upon us. Probably not soon enough, but soon. It's like we'd said at the beginning of the show, it's California primary day, and it's only June. We have like 5 more months of so much media noise before we get to vote again. So you know, we may bring that up again in a future show. Maybe not so directly, but possibly. We'll see. Especially if it's something folks want to talk about or hear about, let us know if it's a thing or not. And yeah, we'll talk about it on a show soon, hopefully. Again, if you'd like to be on one of those shows soon, please let us know. Tweet at us, Facebook us, talk to the HAL 900 at notathingpodcast.com. And Brendan, I will talk to you next week.
Till next time, Alan.